Thank you, ladies. Sometimes we think about trust and obey as kind of a maybe a young people's song we teach young kids, but it is really a song of profound truth. Because if you want to be happy, content, blessed in your walk with the Lord, that's what it comes down to. Trust Him, obey Him, and you will experience God's rich blessing in your life. So appreciate the ladies playing that for us. Let me ask you, if you would please, to open in your scripture this evening to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And if you need a Bible this evening, there should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find Hebrews 6 on page 1688. 1688. Just as a way of getting started here, I want you to imagine for a minute with me a really strong team, in some athletic sport. Let's take basketball, and it's playing a much weaker team. If you want kind of a specific sort of example, let's say it's the NCAA tournament, and you've got teams that are ranked from 1 on down to 16. There are multiple ones, whatever. But let's say you got a number 1 team playing a number 13 team. And at halftime, the number 1 seed is down maybe by 16 points to this number 13 seeded team. And so they go to the locker room, and as you might imagine, the coach is not very happy. And so he launches into a rather intense halftime speech. He maybe chews out the point guard for having 4 turnovers, and he comes down on the center. Because he was getting beaten on the boards by a guy 6 inches shorter than him with half the degree of athleticism. He yells at one of his forwards who took a number of ill-advised shots rather than passing the ball to an open teammate. And then he just kind of lays into the whole team for their defensive lethargy and their general lack of hustle. And he says, and that's why we're losing this game. But then he realizes that, the way to win games is not just by kind of coming down on. So he changes his focus again. And he says, listen, guys, there's no reason we shouldn't win this game. Let's just get back to playing the way we know how. Smart passes, stifling defense, crash the boards. Let's just play whatever it is. Gonzaga basketball, Virginia basketball, whatever some of the classic number 1 seeds are. Let's just play the way we know to play. Maybe he says, you're the best team in the whole tournament, so let's get out there and play that way. That's a little bit, it's a stretch, but a little bit like what happens in Hebrews chapter 6. There's a sense in which it's akin to a locker room pep talk, if you will. In the opening verses of the chapter, the author is warning the Hebrew church about the danger of repudiating their faith and returning to Judaism. And he's concerned that there may be some in the flock who are maybe on the verge of doing that. He knows that's not true of the majority. He also knows that there are some sensitive souls in that church who might be just kind of, brought down by his rather strong rebuke. And so he wants them to know that his words don't come from anger, but from love and concern. So in verse 9, he changes his focus from warning and admonition to encouragement. He addresses them as beloved, which is the only time we encounter that word in the book of Hebrews. And he commends them for their sacrificial ministry. And he assures them that God sees it all and that they'll be rewarded if they'll keep on serving God and His people in love. Take a look here, verses 9 through 12. He says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I told you this morning that this message will be brief, and our text is just one verse, and you can guess which one, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The title of the message tonight is Remember That God Remembers. Let's start with prayer. Father, we are thankful for the privilege of gathering together on this special occasion. Special because it's the Lord's Day and we come together as your people. But doubly special because it's a night when we want to be a blessing to our friends and fellow laborers, the potters. And I pray, Father, that you would use this single verse of Scripture, the truths that underlie it, that you would use it to encourage both them and we who are here and will remain, that we might be reminded that you are a God who sees it all and that you are at work and that you want to bless and you want to reward. So we ask, Father, for your help, for your encouragement as we consider these truths tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to suggest four just simple, straightforward realities from our text tonight. And here's the first one. God is intimately aware of your heartfelt service to him. You know, in any church, there is so much that gets done behind the scenes, so to speak. You know, we see the fruit outwardly of some of those things, but there's just lots and lots of things that go almost unnoticed. You know, think about it. Hours by Sunday school teachers spent preparing their lessons. You know, worker schedules are planned for the sound booth, for junior church, for the nursery. Activities are planned for ladies and teens and kids. Supplies get ordered. Choir music and hymns are chosen. PowerPoints are prepared. Carpets are cleaned. Spills get cleaned up. Rooms get set up. Damaged things get repaired. Trash gets taken out. Rehearsals and meetings are held. People are counseled and prayed for. Visits are made to hospitals and to people's homes and the like. And many of the people who do these things are unseen in many ways by the church, generally speaking. Pastor Micah and I step behind this pulpit regularly, and people have some idea a little bit about our ministry because of that. But really, every person here ought to be involved in all kinds of ways, and often those ways are unseen. They are unnoticed. You know, and even where things are seen, well, those people who are doing the seen things are typically doing much more behind the scenes as well. And few folks have any idea of all that this person is doing, all that they've done. In our church, so much is done in service to the Lord and to God's people for which thank yous are infrequent because the rest of us just don't know. Or we don't pause to think about, you know, somebody had to have done this. Somebody took care of this. I might not know who it is, but I know that these things are happening. And all these kinds of things happen, and yet it may seem that they're unnoticed and unappreciated. But folks, God sees it all. Every detail. You know, when you're walking down the hall and you see a scrap of paper and you bend over to pick it up and throw it in the trash just so our hallway will look better. And, you know, God's mindful of that. God sees you turn off a light switch when you walk out of a room. You know, God sees you mopping up that mess down in the kitchen that nobody else noticed but you did. And it needed to be mopped up, so you did it. And nobody, it might be in the dark for all I know. But you know what? God sees all those details. He sees the big things. He sees the small things. And our text reminds us of that simple fact that God knows. He remembers. And he will reward. Hebrews 6:10 tells us that God would be unrighteous were he to overlook our ministry efforts. If he were to forget them, so to speak. We understand that God knows everything and forgets nothing in a sense. But he doesn't overlook things. He doesn't make light of things. He's aware of each and every detail that is done in ministry towards his name. Our text says God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. A while back, when we got to the point where it seemed likely that God would be leading the potters away, I asked Pastor Micah for a list of different things that he routinely does. You know, I'm aware of many of those things, but I knew I wasn't aware of all those things. And so I asked him to write down to the little things that he routinely does, things that, you know, nobody else might know about, just so we know what is likely to not happen once he steps away. So we can be mindful of that. So we can try to cover those bases. And so he faithfully did that. And on that list, there's plenty of big things. I mean, youth pastor, youth ministry, NBT director, plan the Christmas party and the bonfire service and the church work days and the church picnic. And Jillian does like the children's Christmas program and is involved in ladies ministry and lots of ministry to kids. And then there are all the little, less obvious things that they both have done, and they both, right up to this moment, have continued to do. And Micah and Jerrion, to you I would say, God knows, and God remembers, and God will reward you. Now, we've tried to remember too. In a little while, we'll remember you more formally and assure you of our appreciation. But the message for you guys, and the message really for every one of us with a heart to serve God and his people, the message that God has for us is that he knows, he remembers, and he rewards. God is intimately aware of your heartfelt service to him, your work and labor of love. You know, the word translated work is, those of you who are in the science world, you talk about ergs. Well, that's the word, ergon, okay? Energy applied for a particular purpose. Labor, the idea that is intense labor, united with trouble and toil. You know, it's actually a word that has the basic meaning of somebody who is just taking a beating for the sake of someone else. And this work and this labor is a labor of love. That's the word agape. It's sacrificial. It's committed love. And God knows that. God knows your heart. God knows what you do. He knows why you do it. Number two, God sees ministry to his people as service to Christ. The text says, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, done in the name of Jesus, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, it's because of your love for God, a love that you're showing toward his name. It's because of that love that you have ministered to the saints. And God says, I won't forget what you've done. I won't forget what you are continuing to do, how you have ministered to the saints. You know, you've ministered to older saints, middle-aged saints, teenage saints, little saints, right? You know, you've served the full spectrum of folks in our assembly. And God says, I'm mindful of all that. And that's ministry toward my name, but ministry directed to my people, to the saints. We tend to think about certain avenues of serving as somehow of higher importance, you know, preaching, teaching an adult class, you know, leading the youth group or directing the ladies' ministry. But, you know, when God is talking here through the writer of Hebrews, there's no distinction in terms of degrees of ministry or importance of ministry. It's all ministry to God's people. You know, changing diapers in the nursery is ministry. And I am so thankful that I don't get the privilege of doing that. Other people just take that privilege from me and they take it. But you know what? That it's ministry. It's ministry towards the name of God. It's ministry to these little infant saints or toddler saints. You know, done out of love and care. Counting offerings is ministering towards God's name. Vacuuming the carpet, paying the bills, plowing the parking lot, cutting the grass, all of that is, in one way, shape, or form, ministry to the saints. It's service for the benefit of others that directly or indirectly brings the gospel to the lost and help to God's children. Remember the time one of the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And in that question, he was doing what the religious leaders, what the scribes and Pharisees were always doing. He was looking to trap Jesus in his words, looking to provoke an answer that would somehow or other alienate maybe some of the Jews. And of course, they were never successful doing that. You know, Jesus, all wise, gave profoundly discreet answers. When we talk about wise as serpents, harmless as doves, you know, Jesus epitomizes that in every way. And so to answer that question, Jesus gave them a careful answer. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind." And he says, "This is the first and great commandment." And that's what they'd ask her, okay, what's the most important commandment? But Jesus doesn't stop there. You know, I wonder if maybe he paused just then to watch the wheels turning in their heads. Maybe he noticed a smug look of self-satisfaction in the eyes of some of the Pharisees. I don't know. But he continues his answer. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And there's a second that is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Folks, loving God and loving people, they are two distinct things, and yet they're alike, and they go together. And that's what Jesus teaches us through the answer he gives to the Pharisees. He reduces the practical ramifications of the entire Old Testament down to these two distinct, interrelated loves. Love God, love your neighbor. But one of them does come first, a devotion to God. But that devotion to God leads to a heart of serving your neighbor, of serving God's people. And the writer of Hebrews draws our attention to that same connection. He says, you have served, you've been sacrificing, serving towards his name. But because of your heart for God, because of your loving service to God, the way that manifests itself in very practical ways is you are ministering to the saints, to God's people. In the case of Micah and Jerian, to the people in this church. Other churches too, but, you know, especially to the people of this assembly. Real love towards God always results in loving service to his people. And genuine ministry is always motivated by a love for God. So if Micah and Jerian have ministered to your soul. As you think back and you say, you know, boy, they encouraged me with this. They helped me with this. They challenged me about this. They were a blessing to me in this way. You know, the reason that you experienced it the way that you did is because their service was motivated ultimately by a love for God that overflowed then into a love for you, for me, and ministry to you and me. That was not only, though, you know, ministry to us, but service to Christ. God regards that kind of heartfelt, sacrificial ministry to God's people as service to Jesus. I mean, after all, we are Christ's body, right? We are in organic unity with him. Remember when Saul of Tarsus met Jesus on the road to Damascus? You remember what Jesus said to him? He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, did Saul ever directly persecute Jesus in the flesh? No. But Saul was persecuting God's people. He was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the body of Christ. And Jesus said, "So when you do that, you're persecuting me." And then the other way is true as well. Remember in Matthew 25, Jesus is teaching about the final judgment. And he says that the king, which of course is himself, says that the king is commending some people for serving him. And the people say, "Well, when did we ever feed you when you were hungry? When did we ever offer you drink when you were thirsty? When did we ever clothe you? When did we ever minister to your needs?" And Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." God sees ministry to his people as service to Christ. You know, Micah, Jerry, and you have ministered to us so faithfully and so lovingly and in so many ways. And in so doing, you have served the Lord Jesus wonderfully. Number three, God wants us to keep serving. Okay, look at our text again. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Service to Christ and to the people of God is ongoing, and frankly, it's seemingly unrelenting. You know, he says, you have ministered, and you do minister. It's the same words, where we get our word deacon from, but different tenses. You've done this in the past, you've done this up to now, and then in the present, you're still doing it now, and it's going on, and it's continuing on. And he doesn't say this, but the implication is, and we'll see this in a couple of verses later, he says, is that you'll keep doing that you'll keep going forward in service. Verse 11, he says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You be not slothful, lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. At least twice in the New Testament, we're encouraged not to let the relentlessness of ministry slow us down. Galatians 6:9, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. I understand that genuine ministry is a sacrificial investment of your life into the lives of others. It focuses on their needs, while often having to, you know, overlook our own needs. It's ongoing. It's seemingly unrelenting. And it's motivated by a love for God. But sometimes you do get tired. But the writer of Hebrews says, hey, listen, keep going. Keep serving. You know, Micah and Jerry, and I have no doubt that you guys are going to do that. That God is going to give you the grace and the strength that you just keep going forward. Keep serving. And by God's grace, you know, those of us who are sticking around here, we'll keep going and we'll keep serving as well. And God's grace will be every bit as sufficient for us. You know, there's a lot ahead to be excited about, both at Heritage Baptist Church in Roscoe, Illinois, and at Marquette Manor Baptist Church in Downers Grove, Illinois. And folks, we will be praying for you that you'll keep serving. And that God will use you mightily in your new place of ministry. That he'll give the grace, the wisdom, the strength, the enabling to do all that you probably don't even fully appreciate all that he is calling you to do. But you know what? His strength will be sufficient. His grace will be there for you. And he'll use you in great ways. And let me ask folks, would you commit to pray for our friends? For our fellow, if you would you just lift your hand and say, as God brings you to memory, I'm going to pray for you. Now, Micah, Jerrion, will you, by lifted hand, express your commitment to pray for us in the same way? Oh, I see those hands. All right? But, you know, God wants us to keep going and keep serving, and he wants us to pray one for another to that end. One more principle and we'll be done. God will reward those who lovingly keep serving. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Implied in all of that is that, you know, God sees it, God knows, he remembers, he'll bless, he'll strengthen, he'll reward. It may seem that we are sometimes taken for granted in our service. Now, that's not necessarily true even on the human level. You know, oftentimes people do notice. We just kind of lose sight of the fact that people have spoken an encouraging word to us along the way or whatever it might be. But we do need to remember, you know, that even if it seems like we're neglected by those to whom we minister, we're not overlooked by God. And it's good for us as well. You know, when people have been and are a blessing to you, that you let them know. And I had somebody come up to me this morning in the lobby, you know, who's been here longer than me, and just said, you know, I was thinking about you've been here X number of years, and, you know, I just wanted, you know, it's been a blessing to me. You know, it's been an encouragement to me. Well, that's an encouragement to me. You know, now, lots of us are going to say a lot of that to Micah and Jerrion tonight because it's the last hurrah. But, you know, I want you to look around you. There's a lot of other people in this place who have ministered to you and are ministering to you. And if you've never stepped back to say, you know, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your word of encouragement. Thank you for teaching this class. Thank you for being involved in this. Thank you for helping me with this. Thank you for whatever it is. You know, that's a good thing. But whether we do that as we ought or not, God sees it all. Every intimate detail. And he remembers it all. And he will reward it. Where it says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The word forget has the idea of neglecting, of overlooking. Same words used in Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. That doesn't mean the stranger comes to the door and you say, oh yeah, just a second, and then you forget him there. You know, what it's saying is that, you know, look for opportunities, you know, to minister. Don't overlook. Don't neglect what God puts there. Well, our text says God would be neglectful if he were not mindful of everything that we do toward his name. And he remembers. And he rewards. Our God who sees every secret thing will openly reward those who lovingly serve him. Tonight we want to honor Micah and Jerrion for their faithful service. We want to remember them. In a few minutes we're going to reward them, shall we say, to the degree that we can. But far more important is the reward that awaits you in heaven. You know, that you're going to experience one day for your loving service to us at Marquette Manor Baptist Church. Folks, let's remember that God remembers. And let's all show our love for God by serving his saints, by ministering to one another in different ways. Why? Because of what the writer of Hebrews says in our text. So let's read this verse together. We'll read the reference and then the verse. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now that's God's word to Pastor Micah. It's God's word to Jerrion. It's God's word to their girls. It's God's word to every one of us. But God's not unrighteous. He sees it all. He remembers it all. And he will reward it all. Our Father, we are thankful for the privilege of meeting together tonight. And we ask in this remaining time that we have now in our service and then in the fellowship time to follow that you would encourage our hearts, and that in particular, you would strengthen and encourage Micah and Jerrion for the calling that you have brought to their lives, for that which you have put before them. Use them in powerful ways. Take the things that they have learned during their time here, the experiences that they have had, the friends that they have made, the way they have learned to influence and impact and affect people's lives for the glory of God. And you bring all those things together and use them in amazing ways in these days ahead. I pray, Father, for your provision for our church, for a leader to step into Pastor Micah's role. We have many who are stepping in now in pieces and parts, but would you bring the right person, the right family here to us? But, Father, might all of us just be faithful to take the experiences that we have, the gifts, the opportunities, and minister one to another. And in so doing, minister to Jesus and glorify God. Bless in this time of invitation, I would pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let you remain seated, and we're going to sing an appropriate invitation song here. Let me just ask you, maybe God has put something on your heart. We're just going to take a couple minutes, and as our musicians play, you know, you talk to the Lord. And if we can be of help to you, we can pray with you, pray for you, and just step out from where you are. We'd love to do that. But as the musicians play, the altar's open. If you need to, thank you.
invitation song here. We'll pull out the song sheet you should have received when you came in. Otherwise, the words are behind me on the screen. This song was important to Pastor Micah and to the youth group. And when I asked Pastor Micah about this one, he had said, "Normally, I love high church music, but somehow I'm always encouraged by As the Deer. Also, it reminds me of the many happy memories of youth group. It was the last song we sang in school chapel this week. I have many happy memories from the song." So we're going to go and stand together here. We're going to sing all three verses of the song. As the Deer.
Seated, and now we're going to move to that part that it's kind of like, you know, when the Ephesians wept sore on Paul's shoulder, and you know, but just to kind of have a little time of recognition. And so I'm going to ask, first of all, Brother Bill Mueller, who's the chairman of our deacons, to come and just speak on behalf of our church family about Micah and Jerry.
Back in the beginning, and what's about to begin here. So I'll take a couple and give you the last night. As I get older, I get more and more emotional. My kids will tell you that. You know, there's movies that we watch and we've seen 100 times, and I'll still get emotional about some of those. But this is an emotional time when we say so long. I'm not saying goodbye. I'm saying so long. Like I said, when Micah first started to come to Marquette, every Sunday when he'd come in, you knew he had pockets full of mints. That was how he got himself introduced to the kids, most of it. Yeah, the kids all knew Micah was the candy man. He had the pit mints. So the kids got to know him when they were little. My family was part of that as they were younger. Getting to know him as they were young teenagers, some of them, some were older teenagers, but as they were youngsters. And through the years, you know, we worked with Mike. My wife and I worked with Mike and Jerry in the teens for a number of years, got to know them well. We went on a few different mission trips out to Arizona with them. I didn't do any of the international trips. My kids went with them, but I didn't go. And we're blessed. by the ministry that they had, the heart that they showed, not only to the youth group here, but as they would go out to others, they helped them to understand how to share Christ, how to draw others, not just through the words that they spoke, but through their actions. And Pastor Mike and Jerry are both, they're pretty transparent when you really get to talk to them, get to know them, and have a passion for young people, have a passion for the kids. But they've also ministered to us as parents and adults. Mike has always had a teachable spirit, which 10 years ago he needed a teachable spirit. He needed to grow. But he has matured quite a bit and grown. And we're grateful for the ministry that he's had here at Marquette, both he, Jerry, and the girls as they've grown up here. It's exciting to see how the Lord will use them going forward. It's scary for them. It's scary for us. But we all know that God's in control, and he takes care of all those things. And we'll guide and direct through that. But Pastor Michael, we love you, and we appreciate you as a church, as a family. And like I said, it's not goodbye. It's so long, and you can pop back here anytime you want. And we maybe pop it up there just to see how you're doing, to keep track. Because you're one of the family, and we want to keep that family relationship strong. So thank you very much. Thank you, Jerry. And
so I'm going to ask Pastor Potter and Jerry to just come up and stand here. It's, you know, there's a rite of passage when you leave, and this is just how it is, you know. So you stand here so that everybody can see. But we have some tokens of our love and esteem. And we're going to make you open these, okay? They should be set up to open easily. Don't try to save the paper, okay? just open them up. But this is from the teen group. And, you know, Brother Brandon is unfortunately at the firehouse today, or I'd have him presenting this, but let me give that to you first of all, and just go ahead and open that. We'll do these one at a time. So this is the teams held a going away party at the Riggs for Micah and Jerry, and there were something around 50 people who came out. And so that's a picture of those that were able to be captured in the picture, just as a reminder of the young folks that you have ministered to so faithfully. And then this is for you, Jerry. So can I have permission to give your wife a hug?
Go ahead.
All right. Love you and so appreciate you. And this is for you, for your home. But I'll read what's on the back, too. It says, Dear Jerry Ann, thank you for your faithful ministry to our Marquette Church and Academy family. Words fail to communicate our love and appreciation for you, for your tender heart towards others, your desire to encourage and show compassion to the hurting, and your faithful, godly example to all who know you. We praise the Lord for allowing us to be part of your ministry. We recognize that your faith in your Heavenly Father and your trusting obedience to His will empowered you to influence so many lives during your 10 years here at Marquette. We know God's grace and mercy enabled you to serve the Lord so wonderfully here, and we know that it will be God's grace and mercy that will enable you to fulfill your ministry at Heritage Baptist Church. We will miss your sweet smile, encouraging hugs, and wise words. The Heritage family is receiving a tremendous gift. You will be missed. With much love and appreciation, your MMBC family. And then it has these words, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Lord bless you. Amen. All right. But wait, there's more. Do you want to trade the picture for the box?
Yeah.
This is for you, but you can help him open it. But yeah, you should pull it up. Tip it this way, flat this way, so it doesn't fall out. There you go. An inscription, yes. And this is for your office. I mean, you can put it in your home, but you can have it in your office. And this one says, presented to Pastor Micah Potter in appreciation for 10 years of faithful ministry, shepherding, and love from your Marquette Manor Baptist Church family, Hebrews 6:10. Amen. That's to commemorate your time here.
Oh. You're the best.
Amen. And by the way, you know, let me just say to your girls, we really appreciate your sweet spirits as well. And you have a great mom and dad. And you follow them and you stick with them. And you know, they're going to help direct you in a good direction so that the Lord will use you in the days ahead just as he has been using them here. Now, we do have door number two. One more thing for you. And so the IRS is very kind to pastors. They not only allow for housing allowances, but they allow for a one-time income tax-free gift upon your departure from a ministry. So this is for you. And you can open that up. Yes, right now. Why not? We're on a roll here. And I mentioned that just because it's a check for $7,500, and that is a testimony to all of your generosity and your sacrifice. And so, you know, that'll get your house outfitted a little bit and, you know, help out in different ways. But that is really just a token of our love and our esteem and our appreciation. And as I said, you know, there's a much bigger and better reward awaiting us all one day. But for now, we want you to know how much we have valued your ministry here and how thankful we are for you and how really excited we are for what the Lord has in store coming ahead. So, Lord bless you. I'll take one more hug, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. There we go, my friend, my brother.
This is very generous. We appreciate this.
Amen. You can step up. Why not? You can give it a try. Give it a try.
I'm going to do this.
This is your last try.
Don't do this to me now. I'm doing so well, you know. We really appreciate your generosity. We don't deserve this. Like Bill said, I've made my fair share of mistakes here. I know that. And people have been very patient and loving with us. You know, we're not perfect, obviously. But, you know, we feel like, you know, God has used us. And you guys have been very generous and kind and loving. This is why we really had no desire to ever leave here, because we thought life is pretty good at Marquette, you know. And thank you. You too. I like you a lot. I can name a bunch of you that have just been there for us. I think about all the time that, I mean, we've had our share of beater cars over the years. I don't invest big money in cars. I'm just like, I used to complain about my dad's cars because they're always breaking down, but I guess the apple didn't fall far from the tree, right? But Jim is, I don't know what he does to our car, but he keeps my car running for small amounts of money, so thank you to him. And I mean, come on, Jeff. You're breaking my heart up here, seeing you out there saying nice things like that. I mean, he's been a big encouragement. A number of you have been there. Just when we were down, you were there to encourage us. You just cared. And, you know, it's not hard to serve in a church like that where people really do love you. It's a joy. I don't think of it as a sacrifice, really. We enjoy being here and helping our friends. You know, this. I told this to the deacon there. They have their own Bill Mueller at that church, too. But the Bill Mueller there, his name is Tim, but it's the same idea. But I just, talking to him and the people, about the people here, you know, it's a joy to be here. And I said, why would I want to leave my friends when I trust them and they care about me? And it's just, it's something we can enjoy being here, you know. It's it's not hard, right, when you're with your, the people that you care about. I enjoy the back and forth. I love talking to teachers here and just the deacon meetings. Just, man, the youth group is like a party in there. It's always fun. We're discussing Bible. We're having debates maybe on something, discussions. We're looking at Scripture, but just that atmosphere. I think if the Lord's in it, you can have that joy and unity, and that comes from Christ. It's not because we're all the same. It's because we have something united in Christ. And so I want to thank you guys. Anything you want to say?
As I just keep looking at faces, I just wish I had, I'd love to take the time to just write a card to every single person, because every face has so many memories. And it's just been a joy to be here, to be ministering alongside of each of you. Just thank you for your love for our family and your kindness to us. And I'm going to miss the church and the school. Just every part of it has meant so much to us and every person. And like I told the youth group during that party that they had for us, it's just as hard as it is to come and then leave a place, it's better to have to come and have known those people in this lifetime, to be a part of their lives, them to be a part of ours, and just to be able to share and encourage each other and be just that such a blessing. So I am. Can truly say I'm thankful to know each of one of you. And again, we're not really going that far, but I'm just thankful that God brought us here for this time so we can know each of you. And just thank you so much for your love and friendship.
Amen. Amen. I do have one more thing I almost forgot. Becky, if you would come. We have one more thing for Jerry.
Oh boy.
Now, you know, if you'd like, I could call Heritage and tell them I think we're going to capitulate on our release here. Amen. You can just leave that there and grab it in a minute. You can take it if you want. We can all watch you do that. But all right. So what we are going to do here is Brother Jeff is going to come, and we are going to sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. We routinely sing that when we observe the Lord's table. We're going to sing more verses tonight, a little bit different than what we usually do, but it's apt to this occasion. And then after that, Jeff will close us in prayer, and he'll pray for the refreshments. And I'll just encourage the potters to slip on, lead the line on down there, and we'll do our fellowshipping and our hugging and our tear shedding down there rather than right here at the door. And just take the time to, you know, share a word. Try not to monopolize their time. They're not quite as much night people as me. So, you know, we do need to leave at some point. So just take that opportunity, and, you know, then you can follow up with more things later as well. But we want to give them the chance to say goodbye to as many folks as we can make that happen. All right.
We'll stand here together and we'll sing the first two verses and then verse number 4 there. 312. We'll be right back. word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you tell us in your word, in the book of Ephesians, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the ministry of the Potters here at Marquette Manor Baptist Church, Lord, for these last 10 years. We thank you not only for their ministry, we thank you as for their example and their godly example and their labor of love among us, Lord, and for their friendship. And Lord, we now as a church body, Lord, we commit them to you as, Lord, as they go on to a new ministry there at Heritage Baptist Church in Roscoe. And Lord, for all the things that you will have for them there, Lord, the blessings, Lord, the challenges, the people, Lord, that they will minister to, that you have called them to. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear, just like the Apostle Paul heard of the churches that he ministered to, that we would hear of great and mighty things that, Lord, that you are doing in and through them and through Heritage Baptist Church in Roscoe. And Lord, for those of us, Lord, who are here at Marquette Manor Baptist Church, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do here. Lord, who you will bring here, Lord, to fill in their place and fill in their shoes. And Lord, help us, Lord, to continue to be faithful in serving in this work of the ministry, Lord, here in Downers Grove and in the surrounding area. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. We thank you for the fellowship time now to come. Thank you for the food that, Lord, that has been prepared. Pray that you would bless that and bless the time of fellowship with the Potters, Lord, as we have that together. So we thank you, O Lord, for all this now in Jesus' name.